We're grateful for this another opportunity to study the Word of God, to worship Him, praising Him in these songs and in our prayers. And we are grateful for everyone who is here, especially the visitors we have. We're glad that you're here. There's a very nice couple who were on their honeymoon recently in Hawaii. They happened to take a hike up to Diamond Head, and on their honeymoon also heard the sermon that I preached on authority last week, and they sent me this nice picture of one of the signs that they saw. Stay on trail. And if you note that, just like in the state of Georgia, the state of Hawaii also communicates its will in a very similar way. There is an authority, the state of Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources. They communicated their will with a picture as well as words, stay on the trail. And they're even nice enough to tell why it's so important. Because shortcuts cause erosion. Apparently they're not too concerned about the people, but they are concerned about the eco structure there of the area. But I'm sure that this couple saw this sign, understood the communication, and stayed on the trail, and were able to see the beauty that was around them and leave it for generations to come. Harmony. When a respectable authority communicates its will and people respect that authority and follow it. Harmony. I also read this last week of this beautiful place in Yellowstone Park where you can go and view it. You can see perhaps the little white line there is actually a place where the pedestrians can go and get rather close to this natural phenomenon. Well, apparently four young men decided that they wanted to take a selfie a little bit closer to that phenomenon, and they got off of the path and they went and got very, very close to it. Well, the Park Service saw their video and their selfies online. And they, what did they do? They issued a warrant for their arrest. Why? Because they're in authority and they communicated their will, and these young four men did not follow that will. And I think as well to set an example. Because we're also learned by examples, disapproved as well as approved examples of the way that we are to, the way that we're to function. Last week we talked about the authority of God, and we noted that God is the one who has the right, the authority to set the standard in our lives, to tell us what we are to do, and He has done that. He has communicated His will in the Bible, and we must make the choice to follow His will in order for there to be harmony, in order for us to be able to grow and to flourish as human beings on the face of this earth. I would like for us in our lesson this morning to really focus in on this second quality here, that God has communicated His will in the Bible. And we noted last week that He does so in three ways, and these are the three ways that we're going to emphasize this morning. He tells us what He wants by commands and statements. He shows us what He wants by examples that He approves of or disapproves of. And He implies things. He wants us to necessarily infer certain things. Now, among churches of Christ, there is a growing number of those who are critical of this way, of this observation about the way that God communicates His will to us. For example, I saw an interview of a young lady who is training to be a preacher in a church in the Tennessee, or in the Nashville area in Tennessee. And she was asked the question, how do you know whether or not God wants you to do this? That is, become a preacher. And she said, well, the way I determine things is I try to figure out what God would want me to do, and then I do that, and if I feel good about it, then I know that God approves of it. That is simply moving away from the objective standard of looking to the Word of God to a very subjective standard of feelings, which is much more akin to the world than it is to those who who follow the will of God. Another individual, not quite so far out in left field, but who also is critical of following this way of determining what God wants us to do, in an article called The Plague of Patternism, says, pattern puzzle pieces come from in three shapes. According to Church of Christ pattern seekers, let me just stop right there to say that he's using the term Church of Christ in a denominational sense. The Church of the Lord is not a denomination and it never will be. There might be those who have Church of Christ on their sign who have become a denomination, but they are no longer the Church of the Lord. But back to his quote. Each piece bears the form of either express command, C, or approved example, E, or necessary inference, NI, silence, S. From the very beginning, the C-E-N-I-S approach was hopelessly ambiguous, completely unworkable, and incapable of consistent application. Among mainstream churches of Christ, with Sunday morning attendance of 200-plus persons, congregations strongly advocating the C-E-N-I-S principle today likely represent a very small minority. The most diligent, continuing proponents of this system of interpretation are a subgroup of churches who identify themselves as non-institutional. Now, as I say, this is representative of many who would be critical of this means of communication. But I would ask you this question. How does God communicate His will? If this isn't the way that He communicates it, how does He communicate it? And let me ask you, when you're telling me how He communicates it, don't tell me, don't make any statements, don't show me, don't give me any examples, and don't infer anything. The fact is, that's how we communicate with each other. This is not a Church of Christ system. This is not a religious system. This is how the state communicates with its citizens. This is how a parent communicates with its children. This is how a school teacher communicates with its student. This is how God communicates with man. Let's emphasize and let's go through how the Bible communicates, how God communicates His will through the Bible. First, He tells us what to do. We go back to our illustrations of the sign from Northwest Georgia. Remember these two signs here. One positive, pitch in. Now there is actually a little bit of necessary inference there. He's not talking about your children. He's talking about trash. Doesn't say that, but I think we can necessarily infer he's talking about pitching your trash into the garbage can. And also a negative one, do not cross fence. Well, there was a stream on the other side of the fence with a very fast current that was actually leading to the falls. So don't cross the fence. There was reason why, the context shows that there was reason why this law was being communicated. But this is a statement. This is a command that communicates the will of those in authority. Or you remember this one, remain on marked trail. Now I would like to note with this that this is both, as with all statements or commands, both very generic and specific at the same time. Remain on trail is generic. We saw people on the trail. There were a couple of ladies in particular who were jogging. They were jogging up and down the trail. I saw another man who had his child on his shoulders walking along. I saw a woman who was pushing a stroller. I saw some people who were walking very slowly, breathing very hard. I saw some people sitting on benches that were along the way. All of them were in compliance. This is a general statement, remain on the trail. As long as they remain on the trail, they could do a variety of things on the trail, and they would be fulfilling that. At the very same time, this is specific. Remain on the trail, which means that you don't walk up the side of the gully, which means that you don't get into the stream and walk up the slippery rocks. So at the same time, it was a generic, and we would have to use our judgment to fit within it, and it was specific. It was excluding other things. God communicates His will as well through statements. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and all but one of the examples I'm going to use this morning are all from the book of 1 Thessalonians. We can look at any book in the Bible. We particularly are interested in the New Testament because it is the covenant of Christ for us today. But I just chose one book, book of 1 Thessalonians, to keep it narrowed down for us. In the first three chapters of 1 Thessalonians, we have a lot of interesting information given to us about Paul's trip there to Thessalonica. Not a lot of commands in there, not a lot of statements that we need to follow today, but the Bible is not simply a rule book that has a list of commands, a list of things that you have to do, and you just go through it and you check those off and everything's okay. The Bible is the communication of God to help us to understand who we are, to help us to understand who He is, to help us to understand the relationship together. And it has a lot of information that helps in that whole process of developing this relationship. As well, it has some statements. And we'll look at a few here. Let's start in chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, notice what he says here, how you ought to walk and to please God. There is a certain way that we are to live our lives, to walk in order to be pleasing unto God. We continue in verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. When the Apostle Paul was there, he communicated the will of God, the way that they could be pleasing to Him by commandments, by stating what the will of God is. Something specific. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Now here's a direct command of God, a direct statement of God. You are to abstain from sexual immorality. But notice what he connects to that. He says, this is the will of God. This is not some arbitrary rule that man has made up. This is the expressed will, the communication of God, and it is for your sanctification. God is doing this for your benefit so that you might stay away from the unclean sexuality of this world and might adhere to the pureness of sexuality that God encourages us to do. Verse 4, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Notice again the connection between knowing God and keeping within the commandments of God. It's not just a checklist. It's a relationship that God is looking for. That, verse 6, no one should take advantage or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all such, as which we also forewarned you and testified. One of the marks of authority is that there are consequences if you violate that. You are going to be called to account by the one who has made the law. God, Paul says, we've already forewarned you. God is an avenger of those who violate His will. Verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. He's describing the reason why He's giving you this commandment. And he says in verse 8, therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. It is God's authority that is behind this command that Paul is relating to the brethren there in Thessalonica. He also gives another law in verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to increase more and more, that you aspire, now he's going to define it even further, aspire to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are on the outside, that you may lack in nothing. God relays His will, communicates His will by making state, this is what I want. Some of it is negative, stay away from sexual immorality. Some of it is positive, love one another. And he explains why we do that and what benefit that is to us and what relationship that develops with us and God. Verses 13 through 17, he gives us instruction. There's really no command statement for us to follow, but it's information that we need in order for us to continue to develop our relationship with God. That is, there is going to be a coming of the Lord. We're all going to be raised, and we'll be able to be with the Lord. That is a promise that we can embrace as we read and study the communication of God. But there is a command in verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Take these words and support each other, comfort each other. He gives some more information in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And he gives a command at the end of that. Therefore, comfort, in verse 11, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. In verse 12, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, being at peace among yourselves. We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient toward all. These are a variety of commands, statements that God has given to us that in some sense are general because there might be a variety of ways that we might fulfill that, but at the same time specific, that we are not to deviate from those and go into what would be then termed as hatred and animosity and tearing down our brethren. In verse 15, see that no one render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for you and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice again, he's telling why or what this is, the authority behind it. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. There's a lot of statements there. There's a lot of commands there. And they all have the authority of God behind them. Now, there are difficulties when we are trying to make application of those. For example, did you notice there in verse 20 it says, do not despise prophecies. There was these prophecies, or excuse me, these commands, these statements were given in the first century to a church there in Thessalonica. We are living in the 21st century, and we no longer have supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. We no longer have miraculous prophecies today. And so that command, that statement, is going to apply to us differently because we live in a different time than that. So as we're looking at these statements, they have to be considered within their context. Another statement that is made here in chapter 5, in verse 26, he says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. We also have to take into consideration custom of the day. In that day, they kissed each other as they greeted. In our society, at least in the United States, not in other countries of the world, but in our country, we do not typically kiss one another when we greet each other. But what is it that God is trying? What statement is he making? What command is he making? Is he trying to make a ritual of the way that we greet each other? Or is there a principle that he's trying to communicate there? Yes, we have to reason through and use our logic in order to understand. Yes, there are difficulties in understanding the statements and commands that the Lord gives us. But the problems that we have in understanding those commands and statements do not negate that that is a way that God communicates to us so that we can understand what his will is for us. Remember the sign, please obey all signs and remained on marked trails and structures. Failure to do so constitutes criminal trespass. Violators will be prosecuted. Where there is authority, there is accountability. There is someone that we will have to answer to. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, what Paul says, beginning with verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. But we command you, notice the terminology again, we command you, brethren, and notice the authority, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and here is the instruction, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition that he received from us. You see, there are consequences to not following what God wants. Ultimately, there is going to be the judgment day, but even on this earth, we as fellow brothers and sisters have a responsibility, Paul says. In fact, we are commanded by Paul, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the authority of Christ, that we withdraw from those who do not follow in the teachings that Paul was delivering to them. These had authority behind them. They needed to change their lives and be in harmony with His will. Verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort to the Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." Once again, Paul is trying to help them understand there's authority behind these words. There is a way that God wants you to live. And if we do not follow God's ways, we are going to answer to Him, and we are also, as brethren, going to have to take some steps if they do not comply. Verse 12, "For those such we command and exhort through the Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." If we do not follow the commands of God, there are consequences to that, because there is authority behind these commands and statements of God. That's one way that He communicates to us. A second way that He communicates to us in harmony with this is that He also shows us. There are examples that He gives us. And He tells us whether He approves of this activity of these people or whether He disapproves. Now, there are times in the Bible where the Bible doesn't really give us a commentary on whether or not God approves or disapproves. It's simply a note of history. But God does communicate His will by telling us whether He approves or disapproves of certain actions, and that should communicate to us. Now, we're limited when it comes to the signs that we saw in Georgia because they're not real long. But they do refer to examples of people. For example, this sign, "For your safety and enjoyment, please remain on marked trails and structures." And now they're going to bring up some people that we should learn from. Fatalities and injuries have occurred when these instructions have been ignored. It doesn't have space to tell all of the details of this, but you know about Aunt Mildred, how she walked off the trail and she slipped on a rock and she hit her head and she hasn't been right since. Now, they could have told about that, and I just made that up. That's not a real true story there. But they could have told that story, that example. Don't do that. And let me tell you why you don't. Let me show you why that you don't participate in this. Or it could have said, there was a nice older couple, Jeff and Martha, who came and visited us, and they walked up the trail and they enjoyed it so much. They walked up and down and they followed the rules and they just enjoyed themselves so much. We approve of that type of behavior. They could have said that. Because that's one way that we learn, is by listening to examples that are given by others. God communicates His will to us by giving us examples as well. We look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 once again, and notice the wording that Paul uses here. He says in verse 6, "We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us." The tradition. What is a tradition but a way of doing things? Now, is Paul saying here that all traditions of men are to be followed? No, he's talking about traditions that you receive from us. Apostle Paul was in a was an apostle. He was a man who was inspired of God. He was a man who was doing the will of God in his life and received direct communication from God. He was an individual, therefore, that when you saw the way Paul lived as being approved of by God, that you were to follow. In fact, if you don't follow the example of Paul, you are to be withdrawn from. There was authority behind those examples. I remember speaking to a young man one time. We had spent a great deal of time together. He wanted to be a preacher. We studied together hours. He went off and he went to the first place that he preached. And he was preaching there and he got into some other influences, had some other studies, and he came back to visit. And he came to the conclusion that no example has any binding force whatsoever. No example whatsoever has any binding force. And he brought up some problems with trying to interpret certain examples. And I asked him, well, then how does God communicate? Well, he never came up with any way that God communicates, but he knew what he wanted to argue against. And that's the problem we face sometimes when we're talking to people. They argue against and argue against and argue against, but they never say how God truly does communicate His will. The fact is, when we're reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians, we're reading from an example, because Paul didn't write to us. When we read from 1 Corinthians, we're reading from an example, because he didn't write to us. 2 Corinthians, he didn't write that to us. Galatians, he didn't write that to us. Romans, he didn't write that to us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the vast majority of what Jesus said, he doesn't say to us. Now, there are some whosoever passages in the Bible that would be to everyone, but for the most part, they're all in the context speaking to specific people. So we have to learn from examples. We have to learn from how God deals with people. And here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, if people don't follow the example of Paul, an inspired man, directed by God or approved of, then they were to be withdrawn from. In fact, he gives us specifically what example they were to follow. What example we are to follow. For you yourselves, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you, saying this, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. The Apostle Paul gave an example of how they were to act. They were to work to support themselves. And he says, you need to follow this. That would be binding upon them. That is something that we need to learn from as well. We go back to the first letter of 1 Thessalonians. I noted that in the first three chapters, he simply tells history of what happened. But it's not just history of what happened. We find examples of what God wants us to do, either attitudes or actions that we are to have. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, our coming to you was not in vain. For even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. So he's going to come, he's going to explain how he preached to them. And notice how he couches his words here. Verse 3. For our exhortation did not come from deceit or uncleanness, nor was it in guile, but as, now notice what stamp of approval he puts on his actions here, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, or a cloak of covetousness, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness, and he continues on talking about how he came there and how his attitude was like a nursing mother, how his attitude was like a father trying to encourage them to do what's right. But he's giving the example, this is how I came and preached the gospel. This is something you should learn from because God approved of that. God is witness to this, and you need to learn from this, Thessalonians. Is it not God communicating to us also in the 21st century that we are to preach the gospel? And when we preach the gospel, we don't use deceit or uncleanness. We do not use guile. We do not use flattering speech. But we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others might hear. We are like a nursing mother. We are like fathers. I have preached this lesson before, and I think rightfully so. Teachers, this is how you teach. Let's learn from the example of the Apostle Paul, because Paul was approved of. He had the stamp of approval of God in what he was doing here. God relays his will through examples. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Not only the Apostle Paul, but also those that were not inspired, those were disciples of Christ, but those who received the stamp of approval of one who was inspired of God, the Thessalonian brethren, and their conversion. Verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Paul is putting his stamp of approval on the example of the people of Thessalonica here. This is how you do it. And brethren around saw what they were doing. This is how you do it. Verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We can learn how to be a Christian in the 21st century by looking at the way that the Christians in the first century acted by the approval of God. Because God communicates His will by examples approved of and disapproved of. Now, are there difficulties in understanding all of the examples and the lessons that God wants us to understand from those? Yes, yes, there are. Do those difficulties negate this way that God communicates? No, it does not. There's a difficulty, for example, let's jump out of 1 Thessalonians for just a moment into John chapter 13. Jesus, on the night before he died, is with his disciples, with his apostles in the upper room, and there he washes their feet. And he says in verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Jesus is leaving us here an approved example of what we are to do. In fact, he states that. You need to do what I have done here. But we have to apply that to ourselves. Is Jesus leaving us here a ritual of washing each other's feet? Or is he leaving us the principle behind the washing of feet of that we need to serve one another? And even though we do not in our culture wear sandals and get our feet dirty and need to have our feet washed, there are going to be applications of this principle that are going to be found in our lives. I believe the latter is true. He's leaving us this principle. There are difficulties when we're looking at examples, trying to understand exactly how we are to apply it in our lives. But again, the difficulty of applying the example does not negate that God shows us what He wants by giving us examples. We're going to stop there with these first two. We have a third one, the necessarily implication, but I will save that for next Sunday morning. So we'll stop there by simply drawing it to a conclusion by saying that God communicates His will to us in the Word of God in these two ways, by telling us and by showing us. We need to follow that. We need to choose to bow down, recognize that authority and follow it in our lives. And the beauty is that there's harmony when that is done. There's harmony in our relationship with our God and harmony with one another as well. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to become a Christian just as Jesus has stated. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. even as he has shown us by multiple examples, particularly in the book of Acts, of how people became Christians by repenting and being baptized for the remission of their sins and living by faith unto God, he has communicated then so that we can understand now what we are to do. If you've not become a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one this morning. If you have become a Christian but have gone back into the world, we would encourage you to do as the example Simon teaches us. Come back to the Lord, repent, and pray. If you're subject to the gospel call, won't you come while we stand and sing?